Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
In the last couple of hours, the U.S. military shot down a suspected Chinese spy balloon off the coast of the Carolinas. You're looking at video of the moment the balloon was hit by missiles. Three airports between Wilmington and Charleston were forced to all ground flights when this happened. We have team coverage of the entire operation and its impacts on a North Carolina airport. Let's start with WRAL's Leslie Moreno. She's live at Wilmington International Airport right now with more on the balloon's path through our state and also its impact. Leslie.
Jillian, the FAA closed this airport as well as ones in Myrtle Beach and Charleston. You can see flights resume back to normal here. They resumed at around 3 this afternoon. The Pentagon says a Chinese surveillance balloon was first spotted over Montana on Wednesday. It's been making its way across our country, and this morning it was in our state. This video here is of the skies over Asheville, where it was spotted just this morning. A short while later, it was spotted over the Charlotte area. Gastonia's police department had a post on Facebook asking residents not to call police if they saw it and to avoid taking pot shots at it. As we mentioned earlier, the balloon drifted all the way off the coast of the Carolinas. This video here was taken by Pete Mishler, who owns a hotel in Myrtle Beach, right near where the operation to destroy the balloon was carried out. You can see the military planes. They're closing in on the balloons before a cloud of smoke forms around it and the plane diverts away.
We were laughing. Actually, my wife and I were talking about it. And she said, wouldn't it be funny if the thing was just full of confetti and it was to celebrate the year of the rabbit? So we were just making jokes like everybody. It was crazy to see. You don't see that sort of thing every day. Didn't expect to see it, but it was an experience. You know, something we'll be able to tell the kids and so forth and so on.
Sunset Beach police say it is possible that some of the balloon's debris may wash ashore in the North Carolina area. Police warn people not to pick it up. The U.S. government officials will be taking care of that. As you can see back here, things are back to normal, and we are working to learn more about how travelers were impacted earlier today. We'll have more on that tonight at 10 and 11. Julian.
Great to see things are getting back to normal. Leslie Moreno reporting live in Wilmington. Thank you. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione has also been keeping an eye on the balloon's path. Now, Anthony, you're looking at the dual Doppler 5000, and it's showing the debris left behind from the balloon.
Yeah, Julian, this is a very useful tool here. When we talk about radar itself, what the radar is doing is sending out an invisible beam into space, and whatever it hits, it bounces back to that radar, and that's what we see show up on our screen here. And so you can see this was from earlier today. This is on radar. You can see that little area. It's fairly faint, but you can see it showing up here. That right about there, about 15 miles off the coast, is where we saw the center of this debris earlier today. So just kind of interesting. When we have tornadoes, when we have storms going on, we can kind of look inside the storm to see what's going on. That's exactly what we're using here for this technology. Essentially, this was between North Myrtle Beach and Myrtle Beach. Like I said, about 15 miles off the coast, just before about 3 o'clock is when this snapshot was. And we were able to see that continue off into the Atlantic here for a little while. So just kind of some interesting technology there that was definitely being picked up on a radar earlier today. Where we sit right now here, as far as our weather is concerned, we are nice and quiet as we sweep the skies there on HD Doppler Network. We're looking good to go. Rain chances, though, have gone up into our Sunday. So keep their umbrella handy tomorrow, especially around late morning, early lunchtime through the early afternoon. That's what we're talking about, rainfall pushing in. Futurecast continues to advertise this next system that's going to be pushing the cloud cover in tonight as we head to about 11 o'clock, even lunchtime. This is actually a brand new run of Futurecast. Still shows a few showers there by lunchtime. Continues into the afternoon, potentially a little bit better coverage there by 2 o'clock or so. We continue with that rain here late afternoon, and then it should be out of here by about 5 to 6 o'clock or so. It is not going to be a wake up and have rain all day long kind of event, but I do think scattered showers is going to be a very good bet for most of us tomorrow, especially our eastern counties here for our Sunday. We'll be at 49 degrees tomorrow afternoon. That is going to feel very chilly, though, compared to where we are headed. Coming up here, Julian, we'll talk about our next chance of some rain plus some 70s. Can you believe it? On the way, we'll talk about that warm up here in a few.
70s, we have been waiting on you. Thank you, Anthony. We'll see you later. Now let's take a look at the map showing the path the balloon took. As you can see, the suspected spy balloon flew all across the continental U.S. before it was shot down about 15 miles off the coast of North Myrtle Beach. Many North Carolina Republicans are criticizing the president tonight. Today, Senator Tom Tillis tweeted, quote, "It should have been brought down days ago. This has been an embarrassing episode for the Biden administration, allowing communist China to violate America's airspace from coast to coast." Senator Ted Budd also weighing in on Twitter saying, quote, "Thank you to the U.S. military for shooting down China's spy balloon. The Biden administration owes the American people a full explanation of this incident and why the president failed to act earlier." In just the last 2 hours, the president responded to those comments.
On Wednesday, when I was briefed on the balloon, I ordered the Pentagon to shoot it down on Wednesday as soon as possible. They decided without doing damage to anyone on the ground. They decided that the best time to do that was as it got over water.
You heard from the president right there. Now, you can download the WRAL News app to follow more updates as they come in. It's available for free to download on Google Play and the Apple App Store. Oh, yes, it's game time. In just under 30 minutes, Duke and UNC will play one another for the first Battle of the Blues showdown of the year. We have live team coverage in Durham and Chapel Hill tonight. Let's start with WRAL's Brett Neese, who joins us live from Cameron Indoor Stadium. Brett.
Hey, Julian, good evening. This is an amazing night for Duke fans, for UNC fans. You can see all the lines as people are still trying to fill up Cameron Indoor. It's filling up fast. But take a look over here. We have the apparel store. It's open. You know, this is the first Duke-UNC game without Coach K at the helm. It's a big deal tonight. And take a look at all the grad students here in this line that are hoping to get a spot on the court. And we also have some video to show you of Kayville from earlier. Take a look at all those fans. They were fired up today. They're out there all afternoon in these cold temperatures, but they are ready to go, and they think they're going to bring home a big win.
I mean, there's no better spot to be in for a basketball game. You know, we know that we have this home field advantage, and we're going to win because of it.
Confident, I see there, but it is the first game with Coach John Shire at the helm for a Battle of the Blues, and you know they're fired up here in Durham. But WRAL's Aaron Thomas, you're over in Chapel Hill on Franklin Street. What's it like out there?
What's going on, Brett? Well, I can tell you, driving into town today, I saw plenty of the UNC apparel. I heard a lot of loud music coming from some of the Greek houses. The excitement is definitely back for this huge matchup between UNC and Duke. Let's have photojournalist Kurt Tremper zoom out from top of the hill and show you here on Franklin Street. This is the epicenter where all the magic happens if UNC manages to beat their arch rival, the Duke Blue Devils. Now, while we've been in town right now, we've seen a lot of people go into area bars and restaurants to watch this huge game. We did run into one alumna of UNC Chapel Hill. She graduated back in 2015. She tells me that this is such a big deal. She had to bring some of her friends from out of state to witness this huge rivalry. She says with these two fairly new head coaches at the helm for both teams, she wants to see what the experience will be like for the next few years.
I think it's going to be intense because it's the first time they're facing off, obviously, last year with Coach K's final year, Hubert Davis's first year, and the major games that happen, which went in our favor, of course. You know, it brings a lot of intensity and pressure to this one.
Yeah, intensity is a good word to describe this huge matchup. Again, keeping our eyes here on Franklin Street to see what happens. Many of these fans hoping that Hubert Davis, in his second year as head coach, he can cause quite the upset over at Cameron Indoor Stadium. Julianne?
What a great perspective of Franklin Street as well. Aaron Thomas reporting live for us tonight in Chapel Hill. We'll see you later tonight, my friend. Thank you. The big game tonight could lead to a big-time paycheck for some players. How much some of these college athletes could walk away with thanks to the NIL. Plus, you could be walking away with some money, too, tonight. How high the Powerball jackpot has climbed before tonight's drawing.
Let's play that first number up.
You're taking a live look at the top of the hill in Chapel Hill. It should be a busy night tonight for the big, big game. Well, the Battle of the Blues rivalry draws a lot of attention, right? That means there is a lot of money to be made for companies pushing their products. A Raleigh-based company struck a big deal with big-name players at UNC and also Duke. WRAL's Adam Owens shows us how much those college athletes could make.
They are big names on big teams in a big rivalry. A local company hopes it will help them score big.
Introducing BOA Ignite.
We really like the way it worked out, and they're both great guys. They're both, you know, really smart.
John Pritchett is with BOA Nutrition based in Raleigh. The company makes an aerosol spray that promises to provide nutrients to athletes fast. They struck deals with star basketball players Armando Bacot at UNC and Jeremy Roach at Duke.
Hard to find much higher profile teams or a more high profile matchup.
College players are now entering into NIL or name, image, and likeness deals. In the BOA deal, Bacot and Roach promote the product in ads and on social media. Pritchett also hopes the product might show up on game day.
During timeouts on the sideline, you'll probably see one of them grabbing a yellow can or a red can, right? So that'll be BOA.
For the players, this deal includes money and shares in the company, among other things.
It has the potential to be worth, you know, between, I would say, $150,000 and $250,000 each for them. If you combine it all, it helps us both. They're able to make money from, you know, their success.
Adam Owens, WRAL News.
Pritchett also says there are athletes who can make around $1 million on some deals, particularly with larger companies. Well, you can make some money. Yeah, I'm talking about you. The massive Powerball jackpot just keeps climbing, now at an estimated $700 million. Still, nobody matched all five numbers plus the Powerball. But one lucky person did win $1 million ticket in Garner after the latest drawing. And we will have your next chance to win tonight right here on WRAL at 11. Good luck to everyone. Anthony, you are tracking some rain right now.
Yeah, thankfully, Julian, tonight, for the most part, is pretty quiet. Tomorrow, we're going to start to see things shake up, and rain chances have actually gone up. And so what I will say is, if you can toss the umbrella in the back of the car as you're headed out tomorrow morning, it's going to be a pretty good bet here with a system offshore. Let's talk about where we sit right now, because for the most part, you see satellite and radar. It looks pretty quiet. We have high pressure starting to move offshore. That's generally speaking what keeps our weather pretty calm this time of year. Just in general, high pressure helps to keep us calm. The clouds that are back to the west may start to sneak in just a little bit here tonight, but we'll start to see the clouds increase, rain chances increase as well as we head into our Sunday morning. 8 o'clock or so, waking up, I think even if you're headed out of here for, let's say, early church services, just getting coffee or something, should be still dry at that point. We bump this ahead though to late morning. Fairly isolated in coverage. There's even lunchtime. This is a brand new run here of Futurecast showing still some showers in the forecast, but you notice it's not everyone across the board talking rainfall. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it does start to pick up just a little bit. Our southern areas may still be fairly dry at that point. 5 o'clock, most of this is pushing out. I think by late afternoon, early evening, it should be over, so it will be a fairly quick hitting system. We're not talking a ton of rainfall, but I think most of us could be talking about a tenth to a quarter of an inch or so. And I know after the kind of dreary past week we've had, I don't love saying we have more rain in the forecast, but just want to let you know, make you prepared here for tomorrow. That's what we're looking at here for most of us, about a tenth to a quarter of an inch or so. We head over the next couple of days, though. This is the good news I can bring you, right? We're talking a fairly wet forecast tomorrow. No rain throughout most of this week until we head into Thursday and Friday. There is a chance here again of some scattered showers, so we'll be watching that closely, but just plan for that rain tomorrow. Hopefully you were able to, it was chilly, but enjoy the sunshine today. Look how pretty that shot is at our Lake Gaston camera. The water just very calm, looking pretty good here this evening. The high level clouds making a beautiful sunset, and we'll see those clouds continue to increase as we head into tonight. It is chilly, though. If you're headed out, bundle up. We're at 38 in Raleigh, 37 in Clinton, 31 right now in Goldsboro. Temperatures will probably drop into the upper 20s and low 30s by Sunday morning. We will not have much of a wind chill tonight, though. You saw how calm that water was. The winds are not going to make it necessarily feel any colder, so that's a bit of good news. here into our Sunday will be in the upper 40s into the afternoon, so it will start to be feeling a little bit better. Today we're in the 30s, we'll be in the upper 40s tomorrow. Look at where we are headed this week. We're at 49 tomorrow. Our normal is 54 for this time of year. We're at 62 on Tuesday, 72 as we head into Thursday. I love being able to say this because I know so many people were just, you know, frozen cold and having their winter coats handy. Thursday is going to feel a whole lot better. We'll be at 60 there on Monday. Sunshine looking good. Mostly sunny on Tuesday, 62. 72 on Thursday. It does come with a very slight chance of some showers. So overall, still feeling pretty good. There's another system there that pushes in, Julian, Thursday night into Friday that could bring even some thunderstorms. We'll watch that closely. But I know I'm excited about the 72-degree reading.
I'm excited, too. It seems like it's been a while.
It has. We've just been kind of wet and cold, and so I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Casey, we miss you here, but we are a little bit jealous because you will have a front row seat tonight for the big, big game.
Oh, Julian, I'm so excited to be out here. Now, it's quiet out here outside of Cameron Indoor Stadium right now, but we know that is not the case inside as the Cameron crazies have packed in there as we are just moments away from tip-off from the Battle of the Blues Part 1. Coming up in sports, Chris Lee will join me as we'll break down the 259th meeting between Duke and Carolina.
It's the best rivalry in sport.
Punch first and keep punching.
Punch in the face.
1 second, let's fly! Got it!
It's something that only you can dream of.
Ticked! Yes!
Something you really worked your whole life to play in.
Ding dong! Duke is done!
Carolina is going to go to the national championship!
Spending 2 weeks camping out in Krzyzewskiville, or shall I call it Chi-Town, the Cameron Crazies have packed into Cameron Indoor Stadium. And let me tell you, they're pulling out all the stops tonight for Duke and Carolina, and so are we. Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome into sports. I'm Casey Hintz, standing alongside Chris Lee. We also have the full WRL Sports team inside as we get ready for Battle of the Blues Part 1. But this is a new chapter in Duke and Carolina. An absolute crazy stat, Chris. The first time since 1957 that we will not see either Coach K or Dean Smith. Yes, we're going all the way back to Dean Smith. Neither of those two will be on the sidelines.
It's the first time in my parents' lives, which is really interesting as well. But there's a lot more experience on that Carolina sideline than what there is on that Duke sideline. Of course, a lot of these Carolina players, they're returning four starters from last year. On the Duke side, only Jeremy Roach has played significant minutes in this rivalry game. But the X factor in this game will be Kyle Filipowski. Filipowski is having an amazing year so far. He's leading the Duke Blue Devils in rebounding, also in scoring. His last six games have been a crazy stretch, averaging 21 points and 12 rebounds. But he's saying that the key to this game is for him to get off to a fast start.
Punch first and keep punching. I think that that's something we learned the hard way with some of the tough losses we've had, and we don't need to worry about, you know, the numbers they're putting up, and we just need to focus on what we do best.
Now, as for Carolina, they're coming off their loss against Pitt, right? That also snapped a four-game winning streak. Hubert Davis said he went at them. He said, were you taught what to do? Were you told what to do? And are you talented to do it? The answer is yes. We know this group is talented, but boy, they have struggled this season with consistency on compete on both levels, both sides of the court for a full 40 minutes, and they're going to need that tonight against the Blue Devils. Now, as far this rivalry, remember this game last year. It was the last regular season game, and that really propelled this group into that long tournament run. But we asked the guys earlier this week. They said they have not even thought about that game. They have completely flushed it. But they are taking one thing from that game, and that is experience in this rivalry. And these guys think that can be an advantage.
To be in those type of environment, the type of energy, the type of, you know, packed games and down to the wire type of game. So we know what to expect. You know, don't get me wrong, they're still a good team. So, you know, we're not putting nothing past them. So, but at the same time, we do have that veteran experience and, you know, that grit, you know, weighing on us.
I just think it is what it is. You know, it's just being, you know, a part of that rivalry. And, you know, every time, you know, we get to play them, it's just, you know, the atmosphere is crazy. You know, I just feel like, you know, big-time players show up in big-time games.
All right. Battle of the Blues coverage tonight. Make sure you're watching us at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock on WRL and Fox 50. We have more coverage from our team of reporters right here from Durham, North Carolina.
And quickly, let's get to NC State. They were hosting Georgia Tech this afternoon. The Yellow Jackets are 1-11 in ACC play, and they led most of this game. Tre'Quavion Smith, he was cold from the floor. He only had 5 points on the night, but he gets a big dunk here. And that is going to put a tie game at 54. DJ Burns, he was the big man tonight. He had a game high, 24 points as State survives. We're going to have, like I said, full coverage coming up for you tonight at 10 and 11. Hopefully we got a good one to wrap up here tonight, Julian.
Oh, yes, it will be a good one. All right, guys, we will see you later tonight. Well, thanks for joining us tonight. Next on NBC Nightly News, the Chinese spy balloon is shot down off the East Coast. What happens next and what happens to it? Plus, medical marijuana is not legal in North Carolina, but one lawmaker thinks it could soon change. Why he thinks that and what needs to happen before it passes, that's tonight when we go on the record at 7:30. We'll see you later.